Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we may, we must, we shall, we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thanking God for this morning. As always, I am thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through the Word of God. And today we will be in the book of Ezekiel for the entire block. I am grateful. The word that God gave me today, it says, when the watchman on the wall speaks, we should all listen. Again, when the watchman on the wall speaks, we should all listen. The watchman on the wall is a protector. The watchman on the wall is the one that God uses to give warning, that sounds the trumpet, that lets you know danger is coming. You know, when I was thinking about it, I thought, you know, I don't know if anybody remembers the show Lost in Space, and it says, danger, Will Robinson. The watchman on the wall is going to let you know danger's coming. That's what they do. They are the ones that are vigilant. They are watching. They are listening. They are the ones that God gives warning to. So when the watchman speaks, like E.F. Hutton says, everybody should be listening. We need to listen. Listen, listen, and listen some more. Because you don't know your assignment may be to be a watchman. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, thank you so very much for this very day, Lord God, that you have given us. You have given us each one a do-over. Better today than we were yesterday. To treat each other better today than we did yesterday. To walk in forgiveness and love and kindness and all the fruits of the Spirit, oh God. We ask you, Father God, to lead us, guide us, and show us the way to a better tomorrow and a better today. Because yesterday's gone. We can't get yesterday back, but we can make today better. And we can hopefully your will be here tomorrow to do even better then than we did today. Father God, as we go into our congregations, Lord God, let your word be spoken. Father God, take all this stuff out that's not like you. Let your word stand firm on the foundation of all church bodies, Lord God, that we take all things out not like you, politics and all the religion and not the faith. Father God, all the religion and not the hope in a future. All the religion and doctrine that has nothing to do with souls being saved. For Lord God, we are in war. And as warriors for Christ, Lord, help us to put on our full armor so that we may fight the wiles of the enemy, Lord God. Give us our shield of protection against its fiery arrows. Father God, help us to stand firm with breastplates of righteousness, Father. For you are our righteous God and our Father, and you love us. And Father God, I lift up this word, this Ezekiel word, this prophetic word. I lift it up with the name of Jesus, surrounding it with his blood, that those may hear it will be saved if they are not. And if they are, they will be made, given that living water that sustains us each and every day. Father God, in the name of Christ Jesus, I ask you, Father, please hear my words. Lord God, let my humble heart be acceptable in your sight. As I read your word, Lord God, I ask you to please increase as I decrease. And let these words again, Lord God, and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your holy sight. For you, Father God, are my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Again, lifting up your name. Abba, Father. Elohim. Jehovah. Yahweh. I lift up your name, for you are I am, and I am your humble daughter. Let this word bless someone today. Let the readers and hearers be blessed as we move forward in your word. In Jesus' name again, I pray. Amen. Giving high honor to the Most High God. Today it's going to be just slightly different. We are coming out of Ezekiel, starting at chapter 29. This morning, I will be coming partially out of our Charles Stanley Life Principles Bible for chapter 29, and then I'm going to be switching over to the Tony Evans Study Bible. So bear with me as I kind of go between the two Bibles this morning. To get clear understanding of this word of God. And the word of God, as spoken in Ezekiel chapter 29, says this: In the 10th year, in the 10th month, on the 10th day of the month, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and prophesy against him and against all Egypt. Speak and say, thus says the Lord. Thus says the Lord. It didn't say, thus says Ezekiel. It says, thus says the Lord. Because God is in charge of everything. And we, as his sons and daughters, must understand that when God speaks, we got to listen. And when he sends a word through his watchman, we must listen. We must listen. And I just want to go back real quick to the biblical number 10. And notice it says in the 10th year, 10th month, and 12th day. But we're going to go to 10. And 10 in the Bible, I'm just going to go back over here, says in the Bible the number 10 is issued 242 times. The designation 10th is used 79 times. 10 is also viewed as a complete and perfect number, as is 3, 7, and 12. So again, 10th year, 10th month, 12th day, perfect numbers. It is made up of 4, the number of the physical creation, and 6, the number of man. As much as such, 10 signifies testimony, law, responsibility, and the completeness of order. Call that. 10 is important to God. And then when we go over to the number 12. And 12, it says 12 can be found in 187 places in God's word. Revelation alone has 22 occurrences of the number. The meaning of 12, which is considered a perfect number, is that it symbolizes God's power and authority, as well as serving as a perfect governmental foundation. It can also symbolize completeness of or the nation of Israel as a whole. And it just kind of gives some examples in the study that I looked at when I looked at the number 12 and the number 10. And so it tells us, so it was in, if you look at it, man and perfect. So in the 10th year in the 10th month, on the 12th day of the month, the word of the Lord came to me saying, and again, perfection. You know, God speaks in certain ways for certain reasons. You know, and Ezekiel is that prophet, you know, that gives us everything we need. And I'm going to go back again. It says, you know, 10 is also viewed as a complete and perfect number, as is 3, 7, and 12. So remember that Put that in your memory and in your biblical arsenal, that when you're dealing with 3, you're dealing with 12, you're dealing with 10. Those are perfect numbers for God. As such, 10 signifies testimony, law, stability, and the completeness of order. And as we continue, it tells us too, God gave the 10 commandments to man, and therefore represents man's responsibility to keep the commandments. A tithe is a tenth of an earning and is a testimony of our faith in the Lord. So there's a lot to go with 10. So 10 year, 10 month, 12 day perfection is when God spoke these words to his prophet. And it says this, "Behold, I am against you, a Pharaoh, king of Egypt, O great monster, who lives in the midst of the rivers, who has said, my river is my own. I have made it for myself. But I will put hooks in your jaws and cause the fish of your rivers to stick to your scales. I will bring you up out of the midst of your rivers, and all the fish in your rivers will stick to your scales. I will leave you in the wilderness, you and all the fish of your rivers. You shall fall on the open field. You shall not be picked up or gathered. I have given you as food to the beasts of the field and to the birds of the heavens. Then all the inhabitants of Egypt shall know that I am the Lord, because they have been a staff of reed to the house of Israel. When they took hold of you with the hand, you broke and tore all their shoulders. When they leaned on you, you broke and made all their backs quiver. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, surely I will bring a sword upon you and cut off from you man and beast, and the land of Egypt shall become desolate and waste. Then they will know that I am the Lord, because he said, the river is mine, and I have made it. Indeed, therefore, I am against you and against your rivers, and I will make the land of Egypt utterly waste and desolate, and Migdol to Zion, as the border of Ethiopia. A man shall pass through it, nor foot of beast pass through it, and it shall be uninhabited by 40 years. I will make the land of Egypt desolate in the midst of the countries that are desolate, and among the cities that are laid waste. Her city shall be desolate 40 years, and I will scatter the Egyptians among the nations and disperse them throughout the country. Yet thus says the Lord God, at the end of 40 years, I will gather the Egyptians from the people among whom they were scattered. I will bring back the captives of Egypt and cause them to return to the land of Bethros, to the land of their origin, and there they shall be a lowly kingdom. It shall be the lowest of kingdoms. It shall never again exalt itself above the nations, for I will diminish them so that they will not rule over the nations anymore. No longer shall it be the confidence of the house of Israel, but will remind them of their iniquity. When they turn to follow them, then they shall know that I am the Lord God. And it came to pass in the 27th year, in the first month, on the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, caused his army to labor strenuously against it. Every head was made bald and every shoulder rubbed raw, yet neither he nor his army received wages from there for the labor which they expended on it. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, surely I will give the land of Egypt to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. He shall take away her wealth, carry off her spoil, and remove her pillage, and that will be the wages for this army. I have given him the land of Egypt for his labor, because they worked for me, says the Lord God. In that day I will cause the horn of the house of Israel to spring forth, and I will open your mouth to speak in their midst, then they shall know that I am the Lord. And this is a life lesson from Ezekiel 29:15 from Dr. Stanley, and it says this: I will diminish them so that they will not rule over the nations anymore. And I can honestly say, have you heard any great things about Egypt ruling over the Middle East or ruling over Northern Africa or anything? No. They were diminished just as the Word of God says. When we read this Old Testament, we have to look at it through His story. Again, His story. History. History tells us everything we need to know. And His story gives us more history than any history book you could ever read. When you read this Word of God, you get so much knowledge that is historical knowledge. And when Dr. Stanley writes, he says, who but God? Who but God could have declared that Egypt, the ancient ruler of nations, would fall so completely from the heights and never again become a world superpower? No one at the time could have accepted God. And Egypt is not a superpower, ever. It has not been. And will probably never be again. Because why? God's word said so. Story. His story. When we read this word, look at it through a historical eye, and you will understand that God's word is true. So many times they want to tell us that what we read in our Bible, that this basic instruction before leaving earth, is a whole bunch of fables. The devil is a lie. The truth is the truth, and it is in God's word. When you read it, look at it from a historical eye, and look at it from an I know that I'm standing on what is coming. When these prophets spoke, watchmen on the wall, they are giving us warning every day. All we have to do is listen to this word and read it and study it and know that what Ezekiel said is coming to pass. What Isaiah said has come and will come to pass. Saying these prophets are speaking. When we get through these prophets, you're going to know some things, some historical things and some things that will come. We got to understand God's word is so true, especially in our generation. And I'm sure that our forefathers said the same thing, but there are so many signs, so many things going on right now that we have to truly be watchmen on the wall, ready to sound the alarm because of our study of God's word. It's that important. It's that important. And when we go over to my other Bible, which is the study Bible created by Dr. Tony Evans, it says this: the word of the Lord in Ezekiel came almost a year after Nebuchadnezzar's siege of Jerusalem began. Pharaoh was another king who considered himself to be the god and the master of the Nile River. When Zedekiah reached out to Egypt for help in his attempt to break his word to Nebuchadnezzar and throw off Babylon's rule, Pharaoh hoped Pharaoh said he would assist, but Zedekiah was leaning on an useless ally. Hephorah's half-hearted attempt didn't help, and he withdrew, leaving Zedekiah and Judah to face Nebuchadnezzar's wrath. Egypt would be judged for this and dragged away from her place of safety, leaving the nation abandoned in the desert. Its false promises of support for Israel led to its becoming a desolate ruin. Again, folks lying to each other. 27th year is in view in these verses, a time after the other events Ezekiel described. It is included here because of a logistical connection to the previous events discussed. Nebuchadnezzar's long siege of terror had been financially unprofitable. His army had fought so long that the men had become bald from wearing their helmets and chafed from their armor. So God decided to give Egypt to King Nebuchadnezzar as judgment against the land of Israel's original enslavement and as Nebuchadnezzar's pay since he labored for the Lord. This is an amazing statement of how God's work intertwines with human events as he raises up and puts down rulers. God is sovereign over nations and their leaders. We better understand God's in charge. Don't think that anybody is getting away with anything. God's in charge, and we all will be judged by God. And it goes on to tell us, by Dr. Evans says in 29 and 21, it's not likely that this refers to Ezekiel speaking, since he would have been about 83 years old by this time, and Israel's restoration to the land was decades into the future. And I'm going to go over to 29 and 21, and we're going to read that word. And it says, in that day I will cause horns to sprout for the house of Israel, and I will enable you to speak out among them. They will know that I am the Lord. And what it said in the same thing in our Dr. Stanley book and Bible, it says, in that day I will cause the horn of the house of Israel to spring forth, and I will open your mouth to speak in their midst, and they shall know that I am the Lord. And Dr. Evans tells us this. He says, and we're going to go back and forth between these two Bibles today, y'all, just so that we get a good understanding of this word, because it's important. And it goes on to say, it should mean that when his prophets came to pass, the people of Israel could see that he had faithfully declared God's word to them. And, you know, God will send a prophet every time. All we have to do is listen, listen, and listen some more. And as we go to chapter 30, it says this, the word of the Lord came to me again, saying, son of man, prophesy and say, thus says the Lord God, well, woe to the day. For the day is near, even the day of the Lord is near. It will be day of clouds, a time of the Gentiles. The sword shall come upon Egypt, and great anguish shall be in Ethiopia, when the slain fall in Egypt, and they take away her wealth, and her foundations are broken down. Ethiopia, Libya, Lydia, all the mangled people, Chub, Cub, and the men of the land who are allied shall fall with them by the sword. Thus is the Lord. Those who uphold Egypt shall fall, and the pride of her power shall come down from Migdol to Zion. Those within her shall fall by the sword, says the Lord God. They shall be desolate in the midst of the desolate countries, and her city shall be in the midst of the cities that are laid waste. Then they will know that I am the Lord when I have set a fire to Egypt, are in Egypt, and all her helpers are destroyed. On that day, messengers shall go forth from me in ships to make the careless Ethiopians afraid, and great anguish shall come upon them, as on the day of Egypt, for indeed it is coming. Thus said the Lord God, I will make a multitude of Egypt to cease by the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. He and his people with him, the most terrible of the nations, shall be brought to destroy the land. They shall draw their swords against Egypt and fill the land with the slain. I will make the rivers dry and sell the land into the hand of the wicked. I will make the land waste and all that is in it by the hand of aliens. I, the Lord, have spoken. Thus says the Lord God, I will also destroy the idols and cause the images to cease from Noph. There shall no longer be princesses from the land of Egypt. I will put fear in the land of Egypt. I will make Patros desolate, set fire to Zoan, and execute judgment in Noah. I will pour my fury in Sin, the strength of Egypt. I will cut off the multitude of No and set a fire in Egypt. Sin shall have a great pain. No shall be split open, and No shall be in distress daily. The young men of Avon and Pi, be it the seed, shall fall by the sword. And these cities shall go into captivity at Tahpenes. The day shall also be darkened when I break the yokes of Egypt there, and her arrogant strength shall cease in her. As for her, a cloud shall cover her, and her daughters shall go into captivity. Thus I will execute judgments on Egypt. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. And it came to pass in the 11th year, in the first month, on the 7th day of the month, that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, I have broken the arm of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and see, it has not been bandaged for healing, nor split, nor splint put on to bind it, to make it strong enough to hold a sword. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, surely I am against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and I will break his arms, both the strong one and the one that was broken, and I will make the sword fall out of his hand. I will scatter the Egyptians among the nations and disperse them throughout the countries. I will strengthen the arms of the king of Babylon and put my sword in his hand, but I will break Pharaoh's arms, and he will groan before him with the groaning of a mortally wounded man. Thus I will strengthen the arms of the kings of Babylon, but the arms of Pharaoh shall fall down. They shall know that I am the Lord. Put my sword into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he stretches it out against the land of Egypt. I will scatter the Egyptians among the nations and disperse them throughout the countries. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. God does not play. What he says he will do, he will do. And when we go over to our Dr. Evans Bible, and it says this, for chapter 30, it says, Cush encompassed what is now southern Egypt, Sudan, and northern Ethiopia. Egypt's allies were in trouble too. From Migdol to Sin, the far northern to the far southern borders of Egypt, those who supported the nation would also fall within it by the sword, because the Lord declared it. Be careful with whom you ally yourself. And that's a true statement. Careful who you ally yourself. Be careful who you bring into your friend circle, because you could wind up. Be careful whose friend circle you get into. Be careful who you hang out with. Are they men and women of God? Do they have the same belief system that you do? We are all God's children. But you got to be careful, because we all grew up with the saying, birds of a feather flock together. And if you flocking with the folks that's in the club, if you flocking with the folks that are smoking weed, if you flocking with the folks that are down at Boo Boo and them's house partying, close fish fry, when there's more going on than fish, be careful who you hang out with, because you could find yourself going down the wrong path and getting caught up in the Egypt of the world, when they are under judgment from God. And it goes on to tell us in chapter 30, verses 13 through 19, Memphis was an important religious center with many temples and idols. According to Jeremiah 44:1, there were also Jews from Judah living there. They had fled to Memphis in an attempt to escape Nebuchadnezzar's assault on Jerusalem. Despite Jeremiah's clear warning not to leave the land, remember that. Remember we read that in Jeremiah. They came to Jeremiah under a subterfuge, acting like they was going to listen to whatever God told them to do. They were going to do. And Jeremiah said, okay, this is what God says do. stay, build the houses, do what you got to do, stay here. But they had already made up in their mind that they was going to Egypt. And he told them, he said, you came here and asked me, and I'm paraphrasing, asked me from a word of God, when you already had hardened your heart, you had already decided you was going to Egypt. Well, understand, if you go to Egypt, this is what's going to happen. And he broke it down. Everything that they thought they was getting away from, that's what happened to them. And it goes on to tell us that this is what Dr. Stanley says. Now they, the men of the covenant land, would be caught up in Egypt's disastrous judgment. And that's exactly what happened. Tibias was Egypt's longtime capital. It had been destroyed by the Assyrians 63 B.C. It was later rebuilt. Its hordes of people were wiped out when the city was breached by the Babylonians, a destruction also prophesied by Jeremiah, where they the focus was on judging the God of Tibias. Tihaphanes, yes, was the location of one of the Pharaoh's palaces, a symbol of Egypt's pride and strength that God would bring to an end in Ezekiel 30 and 18, which we just read. Given all the devastation, Egypt also would have to bow acknowledgement that God alone is Lord. Understand, God does not play. And it goes on to tell us in verses 21 through 26, the imagery of broken and strengthened arms once more draws attention to the outworking of God's sovereign will and control in and through human events and rulers. His story. You can go to a history book and you can find it. God's word is true. And when we come to the understanding and realization that God's word is true, we don't have to worry about what he said, she said, they said, woo-woo said. This is what God's word says. And again, he sends a watchman on the wall. And so let's go to chapter 31. And it says the downfall of Egypt and Assyria. And it says in the 11th year, in the third month, on the first day, there's some biblical numbers again, because those numbers have a significance. And it goes on to tell us, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, say to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his lords, who are you like in your greatness? Think of Assyria, a cedar in Lebanon with beautiful branches and shady foliage, and of leafy heights. Its top was among the clouds. The waters caused it to grow. The underground springs made it tall, directing their rivers all around the place where the trees were planted and spending their channels to all the trees of the field. Therefore, the cedar became greater in height than all the trees of the field. Its branches multiplied and its boughs grew long as it spread them out because of the abundant water. All the birds of the sky nested in its branches, and all the animals of the field gave birth beneath its boughs. All the great nations lived in its shade. It was beautiful in its size, in the length of its limbs, for its roots extended to abundant water. The cedars in God's garden could not eclipse it. The pine trees couldn't compare with its branches, nor could the plane trees match its boughs. No tree in the garden of God could compare with its beauty. I made it beautiful with its many limbs, and all the trees of Eden which were in God's garden envied it. Therefore, this is what the Lord God says, since it towered high in structure and set its top among the clouds, and it grew proud on account of its height. I determined to hand it over to a ruler of nations. He would surely deal with it. I banished it because of its wickedness. Foreigners, ruthless men from the nations, cut it down and left it lying. Its limbs fell on the mountains and in every valley. Its boughs lay broken in all the earth. Ravined, all the peoples of the earth left its shade and abandoned it. All the birds of the sky nested on its fallen trunk, and all the animals of the field were among its boughs. This happened so that no trees planted beside water would become great in height and set their tops among the clouds, and so that no other well-watered trees would reach them in height, for they have all been consigned to death, to the underworld, among the people who descend to the pit. This is what the Lord God says. I caused grieving on the day that cedar went down to Sheol. I closed off the underground deep because of it. I held back the rivers of the deep, and its abundant water was restrained. I made Lebanon mourn on account of it, and all the trees of the field fainted because of it. I made the nations quake at the sound of its downfall when I threw it down to Sheol to be with those who descend to the pit. Then all the trees of Eden, the choice, the best of Lebanon, all the well-watered trees were comforted in the underworld. They too descended with it to Sheol, and those slain by the sword as its allies. They had lived in its shade among the nations. Who then are you like in glory and greatness among Eden's trees? You also were brought underworld to be with the trees of Eden. You will lie among the uncircumcised with those slain by the sword. This is Pharaoh and all his hordes. This is the declaration of the Lord God. And when we go down here into the study of this word this morning, we'll come back to it after we get through the whole chapters that we have for today. Chapter 32 of Ezekiel, the lamentation for Pharaoh. And it says, in the 12th year, in the 12th month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, lament for Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and say to him, you compare yourself to a lion of the nations, but you are like a monster in the seas. You thrash about in your rivers, churn up the waters with your feet, and muddy the rivers. This is what the Lord God says. I will spread my net over you with an assembly of many peoples, and they will haul you up in my net. I will abandon you on the land and throw you onto the open field. All the birds of the sky that settle on you, and let the wild creatures of the earth, entire earth, eat their fill of you. I will put your flesh on the mountains and fill the valleys with your carcass. I will drench the land with the flow of your blood, even to the mountains. The ravines will be filled with your gore. When I sniff you out, I will cover the heavens and darken the skies. I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon will not give its light. I will darken all the shining lights in the heavens over you and will bring darkness on your land. This is the declaration of the Lord God. I will trouble the hearts of many people. When I bring about your destruction among the nations in countries you have not known, I will cause many peoples to be appalled at you, and their kings will shudder with fear because of you. When I brandish my sword in front of them on the day of your downfall, each of them will tremble every moment for his life. But this is what the Lord God says. The sword of Babylon's kings will come against you. I will make your hordes fall by the swords of warriors, all of them ruthless men from the nations. They will ravage Egypt's pride, and all its hordes will be destroyed. I will slaughter all its cattle that are beside many waters. No human foot will churn them again. No cattle hooves will disturb them. Then I will let their waters and will make their rivers flow like oil. This is the declaration of the Lord God. When I make the land of Egypt a desolation so that it is emptied of everything in it, when I strike down all who live there, then they will know that I am the Lord. The daughters of the nations will chant that lament. They will chant it over Egypt and all its whores. This is the declaration of the Lord God. Understand, a declaration is something you don't play with. Egypt in Shul. In the 12th year, on the 15th day of the month, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, wail over the hordes of Egypt, and bring Egypt and the daughters of mighty nations down to the underworld, to be with those who descend to the pit. Who do you surpass in loveliness? Go down and be laid to rest with the uncircumcised. They will fall among those slain by the sword. A sword is appointed. They drag her and all her hordes away. Warrior leaders will speak from the middle of Shul about him and his allies. They have come down. The uncircumcised lies slain by the sword. Assyria is there with her whole assembly. Her graves are all around her. All of them are slain, fallen by the sword. Her graves are set in the deepest regions of the pit, and her assembly is all around her burial place. All of them are slain, fallen by the sword. Those who once spread terror in the land of the living. Elam is there with all her hordes around her grave. All of them are slain, fallen by the sword. Those who went down to the underworld uncircumcised, who once spread their terror in the land of the living, they bear their disgrace with those who descend to the pit. Among the slain, they prepare a bed for Elam and all her hordes. Her graves are all around her. All of them are uncircumcised, slain by the sword. Although their terror was once spread in the land of the living, they bear their disgrace. With those who descend to the pit, they are placed among the slain. Meshach and Tubal are there with all their hordes. Their graves are all around them. All of them are uncircumcised, slain by the sword. Although their terror was once spread in the land of the living, they do not lie down with the fallen warriors of the uncircumcised who went down to Shul with their weapons of war, whose swords were placed under their heads, among their shields, rested on their bones. Although the terror of these warriors was once in the land of the living, but you will be shattered and will lie down among the uncircumcised, though with those slain by the sword. Edom is there, her kings and all her princes, who despite their strength have been placed among those slain by the sword. They lie down with the uncircumcised, with those descend to the pit. All the leaders of the north and all the Sidonese are there. They went down in shame with the slain despite the terror their strength inspired. They lie down uncircumcised with those slain by the sword. They bear their disgrace. Pharaoh will see them and will be comforted all over all his hordes. Pharaoh and his whole army slain by the sword. This is the declaration of the Lord God, for I will spread my terror in the land of the living. So Pharaoh and all his hordes will be laid to rest among the uncircumcised with those slain by the sword. This is the declaration of the Lord God. And this is our word for this morning. Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel as Israel's watchman. We got to have a watchman, family. You got to have that watchman on the wall. In the word of God that he gave this morning was the watchman, to be watchman on the wall for God. For God is in charge of our life. He's in charge of everything in us and with us. Who do you belong to? You belong to God. We belong to God. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for for all that you are doing for us and through us. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. When the watchman on the wall speaks, we should listen. I say it again. And it says this in the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, speak to your people and tell them, suppose I bring the sword against a land and the people of that land select a man from among them, appointing him as their watchman. And suppose he sees the sword coming against the land and blows his trumpet to warn the people. Then if anyone hears the sound of the trumpet but ignores the warning and the sword comes and takes him away, his death will be on his own fault. Since he heard the sound of the trumpet but ignored the warning, his death is his own fault. If he has taken warning, he would have saved his life. However, suppose the watchman sees the sword coming but doesn't blow the trumpet so that the people aren't warned and the sword comes and takes away their lives. Then they have been taken away because of their iniquity. But I will hold the watchman accountable for their blood. As for you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. When you hear a word from my mouth, give them a warning from me. If I say to the wicked, wicked one, you will surely die, but you do not speak out to warn him about his way, that wicked person will die for his iniquity, yet I will hold you responsible for his blood. But if you warn a wicked person to turn from his way, and he doesn't turn from it, he will die for his iniquity, but you will have rescued yourself. Now, as for you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, you have said this, our transgressions and our sins are heavy on us, and we are wasting away because of them. How then can we survive? Tell them, as I live, this is the declaration of the Lord God. I will take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that the wicked person should turn from his way and live. Repent, repent of your evil ways. Why will you die, house of Israel? My son, now son of man, say to your people, the righteousness of the righteous person will not save him on the day of his transgression. Neither will the wickedness of the wicked person cause him to stumble on the day he turns from his wickedness. The righteous person won't be able to survive by his righteousness on the day he sins. When I tell the righteous person that he will surely live, but he trusts in his righteousness and acts unjustly, then none of his righteousness will be remembered, and he will die because of the injustice he has committed. So when I tell the wicked person, you will surely die, but he repents of his sin and does what is just and right, he returns collateral, make restitution for what he has stolen, and walks in the structures of life, or the statutes of life, without committing injustice, he will certainly live. He will not die. None of the sins he committed will be held against him. He has done what is just and right, and he will certainly live. But your people say the Lord's way isn't fair. Even though it is their own way that isn't fair. When a righteous person turns from his righteousness and commits injustice, he will die. But if a wicked person turns from his wickedness and does what is just and right, he will live because of it. Yet you say the Lord's way isn't fair. I will judge each of you according to his ways, house of Israel. In the 12th year of our exile, in the 10th month, on the 5th day of the month, a fugitive from Jerusalem came to me and reported, the city has been taken. Now the hand of the Lord had been on me the evening before the fugitive arrived, and he opened my mouth before the man came to me in the morning. So my mouth was open, and I was no longer mute. Remember, God muted Ezekiel for a little while. Israel continued rebellion. Then the word of the Lord came to me, son of man. Those who live in the ruins in the land of Israel are saying Abraham was only one person, yet he received possession of the land, but we are many. Surely the land has been given to us as a possession. Therefore, say to them, this is what the Lord God says. You eat meat with blood in it. Look to your idols and shed blood. Should you then receive possession of the land? You have relied on your sword. You have committed detestable acts. And each of you has defiled your neighbor's wife. Should you then receive possession of the land? Tell them this. This is what the Lord God says. As surely as I live, those who are in the ruins will fall by the sword. Those in the open field I have given to wild animals to be devoured. And those in the stronghold and caves will die by plague. I will make the land desolate, a desolate waste, and its proud strength will come to an end. The mountains of Israel will become desolate with no one passing through. They will know that I am the Lord when I make the land a desolate waste because of all the detestable acts they have committed. As for you, son of man, your people are talking about you near the city walls and in the doorways of the houses. One person speaks to another, each saying to his brother, come and hear what the message is that comes from the Lord. So my people come to you in crowds, sit in front of you and hear your words, but they don't obey them. Their mouths go on passionately, but their hearts pursue dishonest prophets. Yes, to them you are like a singer of passionate songs who has a beautiful voice and displays skillfully on an instrument. They hear your words, but they don't obey them. Yet when all this comes true, and it definitely will, then they will know that a prophet has been among them. A watchman on the wall. When the watchman speaks, what should happen? We should listen. Listen. Listen, listen, and listen some more. When the prophet speaks, we should listen. Chapter 34, the shepherd and God's flock. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the Lord God says to the shepherds. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who have been feeding themselves. Shouldn't the shepherds feed their flock? You eat the fat, wear the wool, butcher the fattened animals, and do not tend the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, healed the sick, bandaged the injured, brought back the strays, or sought the lost. Instead, you have ruled them with violence and cruelty. They were scattered for lack of a shepherd and became food for all the wild animals while they were scattered. My flock went astray on all the mountains and every high hill. My flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and there was no one searching or seeking for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, this is a declaration of the Lord God. Because my flock, lacking a shepherd, has become prey and food for every wild animal, and because my shepherds do not search for my flock, and because the shepherds feed themselves rather than my flock, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord God says. Look, I am against the shepherds. I will demand my flock from them and prevent them from shepherding the flock. The shepherds will no longer feed themselves, for I will rescue my flock from their mouth so that they will not be food for them. For this is what the Lord God says. See, I myself will search for my flock and look for them as a shepherd looks for his sheep on the day he is among his scattered flock. So I will look for my flock. I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and total darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples, gather them from the countries, and bring them to their own soil. I will shepherd them on the mountains of Israel in the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the land. I will tend them in good pastures, and their grazing place will be on Israel's lofty mountains. There they will lie down in a good grazing place. They will feed in rich pastures on the mountains of Israel. I will tend my flock and let them lie down. This is a declaration of the Lord God. I will seek the lost, bring back the strays, bandage the injured, and strengthen the weak. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will shepherd them with justice. As for you, my flock, the Lord God says, look, I am going to judge between one sheep and another, between the rams and the goats. Isn't it enough for you to feed on the good pasture? Must you also trample the rest of the pasture with your feet? Or isn't it enough that you drink the clear water? Must you also muddy the rest with your feet? Yet my flock has to feed on what your feet have trampled and drink what you felt your feet have muddied. Therefore, this is what the Lord God says to me. See, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Since you have pushed with flank and shoulder and butt all the weak your horns until you scatter them all over, I will save my flock. They will no longer be prey, and I will judge between one sheep and another. I will establish over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will shepherd them. He will tend them himself and will be their shepherd, Jesus Christ, our Savior. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will make a covenant of peace with them and eliminate dangerous creatures from the land, so that they may live securely in the wilderness and sleep in the forest. I will make them and the area around my heel feel a blessing. I will send down showers in their season. They will be showers of blessing. The trees of the field will yield their fruit, and the land will yield its produce. My flock will be secure in their land. They will know that I am the Lord when I break the bars of their yoke and rescue them from the power of those who enslave them. They will no longer be prey for the nations, and the wild creatures of the earth will not consume them. They will live securely, and no one will frighten them. I will establish for them a place renowned for its agriculture, and they will no longer be victims of famine in the land. They will no longer endure the insults of the nations. Then they will know that I, the Lord, their God, is with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people. This is the declaration of the Lord God. You are my flock, the human flock of my pastures, and I am your God. This is the declaration of the Lord God. Hallelujah. And thank you, Lord, for your mighty word this morning. And as always, before we get out of here, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And I tell you, this has been a mighty word. When the watchman speaks, we must listen. And Sister Carolyn's word for yesterday was this: good morning. Faith and love are the keys to victory in every situation. Today, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Proverbs 18 and 10. So I say to you this morning, let the watchman speak and listen so that you will be saved. Thank you so much, family, for listening in this morning. It has been a great word from the prophet Ezekiel. He has preached today, and we are listening. Have a blessed day, family. Find a Bible believing, Bible teaching church, and know that God is in charge of everything. Thank you so much. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, run from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Be blessed and know that he is God and there is no one like him. Have a great day, family. It's a wrap. Time to do what? Go to work. Who do we work for? We work for God. again, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church, and know that God sent you there for the food of the body and the food of the soul. Take care and be blessed. It's a wrap.